message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
In Jesus' name, pray.
And the church online, we shout a big amen. Amen.
All right. We celebrate you, our music ministers. Thank you very much. God bless you. We celebrate you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. The selected few among us that had to be in church today, let's be seated. While those online, we worship alongside. There is no distance in the spirit. Glory to God. In fact, there's someone here that is going to be watching online. You're having a terrible pain in the tummy, like a growth. That growth is dissolving right now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We are unstoppable. So we are continuing the series we began last week titled Inferno. Inferno is just an English word for large burning fire. And that exactly as metaphorically explained or expressed the experience that we've had so far since the beginning of the teaching. So last week, I did some wonderful exegesis to prove to us that the things of the Spirit is not denominational. It's not. The Bible said in the book of Mark 16 from verse 17, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So all that it requires for you to walk in the things of the Spirit, to flow in the things of the Spirit, particularly in speaking in tongues, prophesying, working of miracles, all it requires, the criterion, is to be a believer. There is nothing denominational about it. The paradox is, oftentimes when we even pitch denominationalism into it, we still get it wrong. Because I give you an example, somebody says, "I'm Orthodox, I don't pray in tongues." Hey, that's even the more reason why you should pray in tongues. Because by the Wikipedia explanation of the word orthodoxy, already makes it clear that you should embrace the things of the Spirit. Because orthodoxy in Christianity means to embrace the creed, the tenets that is laid down by the early church. And who were the early church people? These were people in the book of Acts. These people walked in the things of the Spirit so much that a 28th chapter had to be written, a book had to be written, and it was named Acts. They demonstrated the things of the Spirit so much that a book had to be written about the act of the Spirit through them. So if you claim to be an Orthodox, my goodness, that's why you should be charismatic. Of course, charismatic, according to Wikipedia, means a set of people called spirit-filled believers who emphasizes the personality, the workings, and the power of the Spirit of God through them as a daily life. Interesting. So these are the things I showed you last week. So I'm just going to continue today. In the book of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now the word spiritual gift looks like a paradox, because the word spiritual in itself includes gift in the original text. The word spiritual means, is from the Greek word pneumaticos. It means things of the Spirit. And I want to specify today about specifically speaking in tongues. Now, just like Paul in his days doesn't want the church in Corinth to be in ignorance, in the same vein, I do not want the church in Nigeria to be in ignorance. So, today, what I'll be doing simply today is to give you another reason why a lot of people are in ignorance about the things of the Spirit. Last week, I showed you one. It is what? Because people have this illusion that the things of the Spirit is denominational. And I gave you three reasons why it is not true. So today I'll be continuing, and I want to let you know one basic reason again why people, or Why does people exude so much ignorance in the things of the Spirit? And this calls for some of the actions you see in church today. So you find somebody, he can't pray for himself. He had to go to somewhere and tell somebody to pray for them and give them money to do that. Hey! So, another reason why a lot of people walk in ignorance is poor Bible interpretation, because the proponent of those who say, well, speaking in tongues is not for every believer, they have a scripture for it somehow. And this is a product of poor Bible interpretation. A very good verse that most times the proponent of speaking in tongues isn't for anyone usually quote is in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 30. Interestingly, this is the same chapter in verse 1 that Apostle Paul says he doesn't want us to be ignorant. Then in verse 30 he says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Hey, this scripture is often lifted out of context to question speaking in tongues, to say, hey, it's not for everybody. But let's read from context now. In verse 27, I want you to follow me briefly and, you know, just follow me. Hallelujah. Those of you online, I'm sure you all have your pens and all that. In verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God had set some in the church. First, apostles. Now, notice, he said God had set some in the church. So, he's talking about human beings, right? Come on, talk to me, right? And God had set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gift of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. So, these are human beings. He referred human beings to apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, people who express gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. They are all people. Because he says he gave some. God had set some in the church. These are human beings. So, in verse 20 now, he now asks a question, a rhetorical question. He says, are all apostles? Come on, what's the answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Are all gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Emphatically, the answer again is what? No. So, a lot of people now say, hey, you see, we can't all speak in tongues. You see? Praise the Lord. But here, he is not talking about the ability to speak in tongues. He's talking about people who have tongues as a ministry. Because all those people that he mentioned earlier are people who have operation of the Spirit through them as a ministry. And so, in specific here, he's not talking about the tongues you speak to God. That's why the next one he says, do all interpret? No. So this kind of tongues he's talking about, tongues as a ministry. And you've seen me do that a lot here in the church where I just speak in tongues and then I interpret. In 1 Corinthians 14, just two chapters after, Apostle Paul makes us to realize that such tongues, when interpreted, equals prophecy. So, he is talking about tongues that is given as a message. Glory to God. And that's why in chapter 14 and verse 26, Paul began to explain. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, has a revelation, an interpretation. He now says, let all things be done unto edifying. 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let him be by two. Or at the most by three, that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself unto God. Can you see that? He says, if he does not have an interpreter, he should speak to himself and to God. What is the teaching? What is the context of the discourse here? Tongues. So obviously the tongues he's talking about is tongues that you have as a message. to the church. So he now says, if there is no interpreter, or if he himself cannot interpret, he says, let him keep quiet. But let him talk to himself and to God. Are you following? Then verse 29 now says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold his peace. You know, it was a case in Corinth where everybody wants to have a prophecy to give, you know. So there was a lot of disorderliness, and Paul says, do these things orderly. If there are three people who have a word, let them say it one after the other. He's talking about tongues as a ministry. Then he goes on and says, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Can I have a big amen to that? So this particular tongue differs from the tongues that you speak when you are praying in tongues to the Lord. Because this one requires interpretation. Why? Because you are giving a message. You want to give a message to people, and you are speaking in tongues. That means unknown tongues, they can't understand it. So you have another need to have the gift of interpretation of tongues to interpret it to the people so they will be edified. Let me give you an instance. Now if I say, likrobandingolun tongondun sufra aktikilemanda, do you hear anything? Did you know what I just said? So that requires interpretation before you be edified. Because he says, let all things be done unto edification. So these tongues is different from speaking in tongues or praying in tongues to the Lord. Because, hey, nobody needs to interpret tongues to God. Come on now. In verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. But for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men. Can you see the tongues here is different from the one he explained in chapter 12? That one is unto men, so it requires interpretation. But praying in tongues to God, you are not speaking to men, you are speaking unto God. So that does not need interpretation. He says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Now you see why he had to interpret the one he asked for them. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 39, it says to covet. I told you the seriousness of that word. Desires from the Greek word zelo. It means to covet earnestly. To crave for it. In fact, it was used in Acts 7 as envy. The same Greek word. It means to cravingly desire something. In Acts chapter 2, all believers of Jesus spoke in tongues. The Bible says in the book of Acts 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 4 says, and they were all of them, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. In Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, when Peter came, the Bible says while Peter was preaching, what was Peter even preaching? Peter was preaching, you know, the book of Acts 10:38 says he was preaching how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all those that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. Then verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake, he was still speaking. The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them. And every one of them spoke with tongues. In Acts 10 verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake this word, what was he speaking? He was speaking about, he was teaching on the anointing of Jesus. That was what he was teaching. The Bible says, while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell. Oh, glory to God. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The circumcision, the Jews, they were astonished that these people, these Gentiles, the Holy Ghost was poured upon them too. They were amazed. For they heard them speak in tongues, verse 46. and magnify God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Again in Acts chapter number 19, when Paul laid hands on some disciples, the Bible said all of them, somebody say all of them. All of them. In Acts 19 and verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So, quickly today, I want to share with you, just two reasons why the believer should speak in tongues. Listen, these two reasons I want to give you is almost about all that you need to be convinced that speaking in tongues, the things of the Spirit, is for everyone. Now, why am I speaking or just picking out speaking in tongues among many other things of the Spirit? Because there are several things. When the Bible talks about things of the Spirit, it's not only speaking in tongues. But I'm picking speaking in tongues because it's one of the most attacked expression of the human spirit today in the body of Christ. And that's the reason why I want to talk about this. Interestingly, like Brother Kenneth E. Hagin would say, speaking in tongues actually is like the door to other manifestation of the Spirit. So I just want to share with you just two reasons. Why? Why do we emphasize speaking in tongues? Why? And as I'm teaching, oh glory to God, as I'm teaching those of you watching online, as I'm teaching, you see, some of you, you feel just like last week, you feel the fire of God so strong. You see, there will be this inferno. You see, one of the things I'm so sure about this program, this teaching is this. It will leave in you an indelible imprint on your devotion. In the name of Jesus. You used to drag, you know, in your devotion. Or you had this emotional attachment to something that you knew you needed to cut off. By the end of this meeting, oh glory to God, I prophesy, you are set loose from every of them in the name of Jesus. There's a fanning that is happening on the inside of you. The gift of God is finding full expression. You see, that fire is boiling ablaze again. There's a rekindling of the Spirit on your inside. Glory to God. Number one reason. The utterance gift confirms that Christ is glorified. Oh, I can preach 3 Sundays on this alone, but I'm just going to be fast about it because of time. Whoosh, I don't know why. Anytime I'm on this pulpit, time keeps running. Maybe somebody is playing with the clock. I don't know. Are you sure somebody is not playing with the clock? Oh my God. I've not even started. So let me run now. Glory to God. I'm just going to share 2 things with you quickly. And you'll be blessed tremendously. 1 Corinthians 4, everybody. 1 Corinthians 4. What did I say is number one reason? The utterance gift does what? Confirms that Christ is glorified. Now, when we say Christ is glorified, what do we mean? I'm sure you know what it means. When we say Christ is glorified, what we mean is he has resurrected and he has ascended. So, tongues confirms that he has resurrected and ascended. Somebody say, Pastor, how does that correlate? How does speaking in tongues prove that Christ has resurrected and is glorified? That means he's resurrected and ascended into the heavens. How does that prove so? I will show it to you from the word of God. Speaking in tongues testifies, confirms that indeed, when you find a Christian speaking in tongues, that is a proof that indeed Christ has resurrected and is in the heaven. And I will show it to you biblically. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Apostle Paul talking to the church in Corinth, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Wow. Paul says he thanks his God that the gift of God that is testified among them. Now in verse 5 he says that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Verse 6, listen carefully, it now says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says, that in everything ye are enriched in him, in all utterance. He mentions utterance. He says, utterance. Then verse 6 says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that means by the gift of utterance, the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. Now, what is that testimony of Christ that Paul is talking about? That Christ resurrected and is ascended. So through the utterance gift, Paul said, you see, your utterance gift has confirmed that Christ is ascended, that Christ is glorified. So the utterance gift confirms that Christ is glorified. You know, the church in Macedonia, they were very rich in giving grace. Now, Paul is speaking about the church in Corinth, that they are not dulling in spiritual gifts. He says, you come short in no gifts. Glory to God. Notice the verse 5 to 6 again. It says, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance, hallelujah, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. That means, by their utterance gift, speaking in tongues, giving of words, prophesying, Paul says, ha-ha, the glorification of Jesus is confirmed through your utterance gift. It says, even as the testimony of Christ. What's the testimony of Christ? What do we testify about Christ that brings salvation? That Christ is dead, that Christ was buried, that Christ is resurrected, and ultimately what? Ascended. This is the testimony of Christ. This is what we testify of Christ. So speaking in tongues testifies the glorification of Jesus. It testifies. When you speak in tongues, it's a testimony that Christ has been glorified. Hallelujah. And this is very simple to subject to proper scrutiny. Very simple and logical. Open to John 16 and I'll show you something quickly. John 16. Hallelujah. In John 16 and verse 7, oh boy. John 16 and verse 7, it says, Jesus was the one that's talking here. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. What is the meaning of expedient? It means important. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, we read in Acts chapter number 1 and verse 4. The Bible says, you know, they were together. Then in verse 8, the Bible says, you know, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So that means Jesus and Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, gives us an idea that the glorification of Jesus is a precursor to receiving the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said here that if I remain here, the Holy Ghost will not come. So now, since the Holy Ghost in Acts 2 verse 4 says they were filled the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in tongues as what? As the Spirit gave them utterance. So since if Jesus never ascended, since his ascension is the precursor to receiving the Holy Spirit, then when we speak in tongues, since the Holy Spirit is the one that gave us utterance, then our speaking in tongues confirms indeed that Jesus has ascended. Is that logical enough? Let me come again. In John 16 verse 7, Jesus says, if I do not go away, the Holy Ghost will not come. Now, who gives us utterance? The Holy Spirit. So now, when we pray in tongues, that means the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, right? That is a confirmation that indeed Jesus Christ has ascended. Because he said earlier that if I go not away, the Holy Ghost will not come. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, speaking in tongues, utterance gift testifies that Christ is glorified. Can I be honest with you? This is the most brilliant. You see, that's why I believe speaking in tongues is the most important expression of the Spirit. Do you know why? Because it testifies the gospel that we preach. This is the testimony of Jesus. There is no message of Christ outside his resurrection. The crux of the gospel is the resurrection of Christ, is glorification. So that means the proof that Christ, listen, the proof that Christ is resurrected is not the empty tomb. Are you hearing me? The proof that Christ is resurrected is the efficacy of the outworking of the Spirit in the believer. An utterance gift is one of them. Working of miracles is one of them. These signs shall follow them that believe. Shout amen, somebody. Wow. You see why tongues is the most important gift? Speaking in tongues is the most important gift because it testifies. Because he says, as you were abundant and rich in all utterance, even as the testimony of Christ. When we speak in tongues, we are testifying that indeed Christ is resurrected. Because he had said before that except he ascend, the Holy Ghost will not come. Now, when we speak in tongues, the Holy Ghost gives us utterance. That proves to us that indeed he has gone. He has ascended. And there was no way he was going to ascend without being resurrected. Because he was killed. He was buried. That settles the fact that Jesus Christ was born. He died. Was buried. He ascended. Ascension couldn't be possible without resurrection. What is the cross of the gospel? Resurrection. So speaking in tongues testifies. It confirms the testimony of Jesus. That is his death, his burial, and resurrection. This is the gospel. These are the vital elements of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1 to 4. That Christ died, was buried. He died for our sins, was buried, and was resurrected according to the scripture. So speaking in tongues testifies. He affirms the testimony of Christ. Oh, I wish I can dwell more on this. But you know, I don't know who is playing with the clock. Glory to God. Peter also in his defense. You know, when the first, you know, that's why I always tell people, I said, the things of the Spirit does not negate scriptures. Rather, scriptures exegete the things of the Spirit. There is no such thing as somebody just displayed the things of the Spirit and you say, you never find this kind of things in the Spirit. Even Paul did not express this kind of the gift. It's a special one that God gave me. Run, 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 run. Fire on the mountain. Because the things of the Spirit are usually explained from God's word. The first time that they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, the people thought they were drunk. Paul, I showed you last week, right? Paul had to say, hey, these were not drunk as you suppose. For this is for the third hour. Third hour, you know, the Jews begin to count their time from 6 a.m. That means first hour is 7, second hour is 8, third hour is 9. So Paul was saying, Peter was saying, hey, it's 9 a.m. He is too early to be drunk. Although it's not true in some part in this country. Some people get drunk even at 7 a.m. Praise the Lord. So Paul, Peter was saying, oh, why is Paul coming to my mouth? Peter was saying, hey, it's too early to be drunk. These were not drunk as you suppose. Now, if they thought they were drunk, then that means they must have exuded some characteristics of a drunk person. Right? Have you ever seen somebody who is drunk? Two things are very common with somebody who is drunk. Number one is that his walking is going to be haphazard. He's going to be walking like this. Number two is that his speech is going to be incoherent. He's going to be talking rubbish. You did you see me? Yes, Babangida is coming. You see, incoherent. You I'll beat you. Our result is out. So that's what he does. That's what they were doing. They were walking incoherently, haphazardly. Paul, Peter now says, hey, this is not drunk, people. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. In the book of Jude chapter 2, he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Glory to God. So in his defense, in Acts chapter number 2, Peter says something in 32. Oh, you've got to read with me. You've got to read this thing with me. In Acts chapter number 2, in verse 32, oh boy. Oh boy, look at it. He says,
Oh, you know, Peter was explaining to them what has happened. Oh, that is the fulfillment of prophecy. There in 32, he says, this Jesus as God raised up, whereof ye all are witnesses. This Jesus God has raised up. Resurrection. Come on, talk to me. 33, he now says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. I want you to read it together again with me. This will bless you if you will listen carefully. Notice I said Peter was giving a defense to the incoherent speech, the aphasic movement of the people. Come on, talk to me. So Peter was saying, hey, this Jesus that you killed, which was raised back from dead by God, he now says in 33, he says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, come on, glorified, come on. Are you following me now? He says, Christ being now glorified, the promise of the Spirit he gave, when he did promise, he says, I will give you another comforter. I will pray the Father, and he will give you what? Another comforter. Our Lord's Paracletos. That was the promise. Come on, talk to me. He now says, having received of the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. What did they see? They saw them walking coherently, and they heard them being what? Speaking in tongues. So Apostle Peter is saying, hey, what you saw them do, and you heard them say, is a proof that he has ascended, and he has shed forth that promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Krinohangrundis, acto preginos. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Peter's defense here was a proof that, hey, for the fact that you saw them speaking this way is a proof that indeed he has been glorified. Look at it again. Look at it again. Look at it again. He says, this Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. This was Peter that was defending, speaking in tongues. In Acts 33, he says, therefore, being by the right hand of God, of course, I've taught you, right hand does not mean right hand side. It just means regency. That means he has come into the place of power. He has become God's right hand man. He says, being at the right hand of God exalted, that means glorified. Notice I said number one point is that what? The utterance gift is a confirmation that Christ is what? Glorified. So he is now saying that being at the right hand of God glorified, exalted, and having received the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost, right? He has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So he's telling the audience that, listen, what you saw, which is you saw people walking anyhow, and what you heard them speaking in diverse tongues, different kind of tongues. He says, this thing you saw them do, he says, is a proof of the fact that he has been glorified. Don't forget in John 16 verse 7, he says, except I go away, the Holy Ghost will not come. So the proof that the Holy Ghost has come is the fact that he gives us utterance, right? Acts 2 verse 4 says, they speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. If that be the case, then that means indeed he has ascended. Because until I go, he said, until I go away, the Holy Ghost will not come. And he couldn't have gone if he had not resurrected, because the Jesus we knew, he was killed. That's what Peter is saying. He says, this same Jesus whom you killed, God has raised back from the dead. Hallelujah. God has raised him from the dead. And having received the promise of the Father, he shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Is that clear enough? Come on, talk to me. So this is the testimony of Christ. So when you hear people speak in tongues, just know that that is a proof that indeed Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. Is that a good reason to speak in tongues? Good. Number two reason, then we close. Oh my God. Interestingly, this particular one is so controversial that most people even use it to taunt believers. They say,
Have you heard people say things like, some people they pray in tongues and they go hell? Let me tell you the truth, eh? That you speak in tongues does not mean you are a Christian, no. Let me be sincere with you. Eh? Speaking in tongues is not a proof. But biblically, the opposite is the truth. I'm going to show it to you. And it's going to be a long reading. So you have to be very attentive to get this point. Let me even just give it to you apologetically first. Before I go into scriptures. Who gives utterance? Who gives utterance? So if the Holy Spirit gives utterance, does the Holy Spirit live in an unbeliever? And that's why many a times the doctrine of baptisms, oh, you've got to get our teaching on the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not a different experience from salvation. When you got born again, the Holy Ghost came into you immediately. In fact, Ephesians 1:13 tells us that it became the seal. So the seal of your redemption. When you received Christ, when you heard the gospel, the Holy Ghost came into you immediately. It's not a separate experience. No, it's not. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Now, if speaking in tongues, if the utterance gift is given by the Holy Spirit, then it will be wrong to say speaking in tongues does not mean you are a Christian. Wrong! Because the Holy Ghost gives the utterance. If the Holy Ghost gives the utterance, then you are a believer. That means the Holy Ghost is in you. Come on, talk to me now. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a life of God. The Spirit of God in the human body. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Without the Holy Ghost, Christianity will be another dead religion. Romans 8 verse 9. The Bible makes us understand. It tells us so. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't belong to Him. So it's not possible. Every Christian who has believed the gospel, you know, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, he says, it's now made manifest by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and He has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So when you heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, the Holy Ghost comes into you because, you see, the Holy Ghost is involved in your conversion. He's the one that brings the conviction. In the book of John 16 from verse 7 down to 9, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, He says He will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin. He says He will convict the world of sin. Come on, talk to me. Then He went to explain later. He says, of sin. What is the sin? For they believe not in Me. So the conviction that the Holy Spirit will do in any human being is the conviction of disbelief in Jesus. And that will happen how many times? Once. So when you hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicts you. So when He's done with the work, He will now leave, Abby. The Holy Spirit will convict you. And when He convicts you, you hear the gospel, you believed, then the Holy Spirit will now leave. Is that true? No. What did Jesus say? He says, and the Holy Spirit shall abide in you for how long? Come on, talk to me. For how long? Forever. Because Ephesians 1 verse 13 now says, is the seal. Ephesians 4 verse 29 to 30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby He has sealed unto the day of redemption. The redemption of our body. The Holy Ghost is in me. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. That's even apologetic. But is that simple enough? Now, let me now read a long greeting to you that will bless you tremendously. Then we close. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, number two, the tongues gift, the utterance gift, is a confirmation of the testimony of the believer. In other words, utterance gift is a pointer, is a testifier that an individual is a believer. Because unbeliever can't speak in tongues. Someone says, but there are some people who are just, they are faking it. There is fake tongue. Somebody say, why don't you speak in tongues? Ah, there are too many fake tongues. Okay. Have you seen fake money before? Yeah, you've seen fake money. Have you ever stopped spending money ever since then? Like Dr. Casey Price, they call him Apostle Fred Casey Price. He makes a statement that I love so much. He says, I would rather have you speak fake tongues than no tongues at all. They say it's fake, Abby. Speak it. I would rather have you speak. You know Bracknell E. Hagin? Bracknell E. Hagin of Blessed Memory. He says, I would rather have wildfire than no fire at all. And that's why I used to tell people that walking in the things of the Spirit doesn't begin with caution. It begins with wildness. That's why you have the gift of a pastor to put you in check. You didn't get it. Don't worry. I have no much time. Now, shortly after Jesus left, salvation was esoteric. In other words, it was confined to the Jews alone. If you were a Jew and you go to preach the gospel to the Gentile, they will almost excommunicate you. They did that to Peter. They almost excommunicated him. I think that's why in the book of Galatians, I'm sure that's the reason why when Peter saw Paul coming, he had to quickly leave the Gentile. Because he remembered what was done to him in Acts 10 and 11. I'll read that to you now. They almost excommunicated him. How dare you go to the Gentiles? So salvation at that time was perceived to be esoteric. Was perceived to be the Jews alone. And that's why when Peter had a vision and God said, eat. He says, I've never eaten any unclean thing. Of course, that was a dream, and the dream was interpreted in the same chapter, right? And what was the dream? God was saying, hey, go to the Gentiles. And Peter says, no, I won't go to the Gentiles with the gospel. The gospel is for the Jews alone. That was the assumption at the time. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So that was the scene here. Look at Acts 10. I'm reading 48 verses. 48 verses, then you will grasp it. So you have to follow me keenly. Already, I have proven to you that speaking in tongues testifies that you are a believer. Very simple, right? The Holy Ghost gives the utterance, and the Holy Ghost comes to live in the believer alone. He doesn't live in the unbeliever. Come on, talk to me. So that is enough a proof. But I want to give you beyond reasonable doubt. So we're going to read, as usual. You know, this is a reading church. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. It's a reading church. In Acts 10 and verse 1, there was a man. So I want you to listen and follow me carefully. You see, one of the problems in the church today is people don't read their Bible. And if you're not a reader, you are a candidate for deception. You see, let me tell you, a false prophet, a fake prophet somewhere is happy that you're not reading your Bible. Because you become a customer. Be a reader. So we're about to read now. I'm sure those of you online, you have your Bibles with you, and you're about to read with me now. It's beautiful to read the Word of God. In Acts 10, and verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms. You know what alms are?
which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Can you imagine? This guy has so much devotion. Verse 3. Now he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Hey, this was under the old covenant. He says, Your alms, your gifts, your giving has come up as a memorial, but yet he couldn't save him. Now, follow me carefully. The angels could not lead him to Christ. That is the most brilliant thing I want you to see here. That means the ministry of reconciliation is exclusive to the believers. It's exclusive to human beings. I will show it to you now. Just follow me. In verse 5, it now says, Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Hey! Are you following what I'm saying? You see, the Bible says that they that seek the Lord, alright? Come on, talk to me. In Old Testament, the Bible says, they that seek the Lord, you see, they will find him. So that means the reward for seeking the Lord was salvation. This guy is a very devout man. That's what the Bible says, a devout man. He gives alms. Now an angel appeared to him. The angel couldn't save him. The angel couldn't preach the gospel to him. The angel had to tell him, go and fetch a man called Peter. He will tell you what you need to do to be saved. Come on. Now let's go on. Verse 7. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went their journey, they drew near unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Peter went to pray about the sixth hour. That's 12 noon. Verse 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Have you, this never happened to you before? You came back from school, mommy is cooking, you are hungry. Mommy is saying, calm down, the food will soon be done. Oh. So while you were there on the couch, waiting for the food to be done, you fell asleep. Oftentimes, what happens in that dream? You find yourself eating. Am I correct? That was the experience of Peter here. He was hungry. He couldn't wait. While the food was still on, the guy slept off. Verse 11, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, neat at the floor, four corners, and laid down to the earth. Verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. Now, in the Jewish religion, if you read the book of Leviticus, they have animals they don't eat. They don't eat four-footed animals. Wild beasts, they don't eat it. Creeping things, they don't eat. Some of you eat crickets. Chinge, kunachi chinge. So Jewish people pass wachi chinge. Cricket, insect, those things, they don't eat it. You see those things that they are forbidden food. But anyway, in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4 verse 5, the Bible says that all things are to be received with thanksgiving, for they are sanctified by the word of faith and prayer. Glory to God. Amen. So if it is gari and chinge, the first time I ate cricket, oh, I like it. So sweet. Glory to God. How about chinge, termites? Don't. Very rich in protein. That thing you go in the night, you go and use torchlight. Come on, talk to me. And then as the thing is falling down, you are carrying the thing, you are putting inside water. Inside water. Then you go and fry it. Very sweet. Or delicious, rather. Tasty. But in the Jewish religion, it was a taboo. So these were the things that Peter saw in a dream. And the man in that dream, don't forget, he slept out. How did he sleep? The guy was hungry.
But despite how hungry he was, as a Jewish man, even in his dream, it was wrong to eat an unclean food. Glory to God. The guy is so low, he's a low guy to the core, to the point that even in his dream, he cannot eat those things. Verse 13 now says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, eat. Verse 14, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never, can you imagine? I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Wow. Now, this is a dream, an allegory. You understand how dreams work now. He was hungry. He saw a food. Meanwhile, God was communicating another message to him through it. Do you understand now? Verse 15, the voice spake unto him again the second time. What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. That means whatever God has called clean, that means God has called unbelievers, non-Jews, God has called them clean as long as they come into the faith. So God is saying, hey, my salvation plan is for everybody, not for Jews alone. Verse 16, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, why Peter doubted, the word doubted means while he was thinking in his mind, what this vision which he had seen should mean. Now, don't forget, he was hungry, right? Come on, talk to me. Now, he was thinking when he woke up that what was the meaning of this dream? What is the meaning of this dream? Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house. Don't forget, oh, this is supernatural church. This is how they walked in the street in the early church. Do you know what just happened here? Peter, God was going to send Peter to preach to the Gentiles. The Gentile he was going to preach to, an angel has appeared to him. He has sent men to fetch Peter. Oh, glory to God. You see, the church is a supernatural church. We are a living entity that lives in supernatural. You can wake up in the morning and then God will tell you, you will meet a man, you wear white with a blue tie. Powerful description. That's happened to me a lot of times. Supernatural. Do you get a scene here? Come on. Cornelius, a Gentile, a devout man, an angel appeared to him. He says, listen, for you to be saved, go and fetch to a man called Peter. He will tell you what you need to do to be saved. Now he sends men. The Peter that he was supposed to send, an angel has appeared to him also in the dream, giving him a food to eat, which happened to be a forbidden fruit. Salvation was said to be esoteric at that time. Salvation doesn't go to the Jew. Doesn't go to the Gentiles, rather. Come on now. So a food came to him in a dream, which is not meant for the Jews. So he hesitated, said, I'm going to eat this food. This food is not meant for us. Wow. Isn't that supernatural? That you are going out and you know who you will meet. You know what they will say to you. This is the life of a Christian. But that's just by the way. Come with me. We are still reading. 19 says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Hey. As in, imagine you are sitting in your house like this on the couch, and God is saying, three men are coming now. And you open the door, behold, you saw three men. Verse 20, arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. Someone say, doubting nothing. He says, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. Glory to God. This is supernatural. I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Don't forget, the angel has spoken to him, says, listen, doubting nothing, don't doubt, follow them, right? 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea,
Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. This is amazing. This guy is smarter than many Christians today. Your pastor, your minister is coming to visit you. You know when he comes, he's going to share God's word. What is the wisdom? Go and gather all your friends. My pastor is coming. Look at it. 26. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." Because the guy was trying to prostrate. Because you see, 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. He has gathered the crowd. 28. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew." Are you following? Are you following what I'm saying? He's saying, you know how that it's unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Was he man he saw in the dream? What did he see? Animal. So now God has interpreted that dream to him that, listen, don't call any Gentile unclean. So that means at that time, they had this mind that the gospel is esoteric, is for the Jews alone. So they wouldn't take the gospel to the Gentile. So God, trying to get his attention, gave him a dream. And that dream was to mean that is to take the gospel to the unbelievers. Follow me carefully now. Follow me carefully now. 30. 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy arms are heard in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore, you know, he's relaying the story now. Are you following? 33. Immediately I therefore sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee of God. 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that there is no respecter of persons. What is the contextual use of that word now? That means God does not care whether you are a Jew or a Greek, a Gentile. Are you following? 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that is what? He is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, John preached how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. 39. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on the tree. Him, now, look at his message. Him, God has what? Raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Can you see? He's preaching the gospel. 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Can you see what he's preaching? Resurrection. 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophet witness. That means this is the summary of the message of the prophet. Don't forget when I showed you in the book of Luke 24 and verse 44. It says, "Oh, you full of heart to believe all that the prophet has said. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to do what? To enter into his glory." So that means all the prophets, they testify of him. Now go on. Thank you, Father. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, oh glory to God. Verse 43. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Remission. Whosoever does what? So this is the message preached to him, to Cornelius and all those that were with him. That if they will believe, their sins will be forgiven. If they will believe,
they will become saved.
Salvation will come to them. So all they need to do was to believe.
Let's go on. 44.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. When you hear, what do you do? What comes with hearing? You believe. So they believe the gospel. What now happened? The Holy Ghost came on them. Now go on. And look at 45 now. 45. And they of the circumcision which believed. That means circumcision means the Jews who were already believers. They were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles too. So the Jews were surprised. Are you serious? We thought this thing is for us alone. Now look at verse 46. How did they know that the Holy Ghost has come upon them? How did they know that they are now born again? How did they know that indeed that God has accepted them too? 46 tells us. It says what? For they heard them what? Speak with tongues and magnify God. So speaking in tongues is a proof that they are saved. It's a proof that they are accepted of God. It's a proof that their sins are remitted. In other words, speaking in tongues testifies that you are a believer. If that is not enough a proof, let's go on. Now, when Peter was going to relay the issue in Acts 11. Now, I'm going to read Acts 11 quickly. Just listen. You know, this is the story, right? Come on. This is the story, right? Now, when Peter was going to relay the issue in Acts 11. Look at what he did. In Acts 11 verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea, they heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Verse 2. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. That means they fought him. That what? You went to the Gentiles to preach the gospel? How dare you? The gospel is for the Jews alone. How dare you? Salvation is for the Jews alone. How dare you? How could you have preached the gospel to the unbelievers, to the Gentiles? Verse 3. Look at what they said. Saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. The council of elders. They want to expel Peter. But look at verse 15, when Peter was beginning to explain. Peter said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. That means Peter was saying, hey, now remember how Holy Ghost they fall on us too for upper room? Now so the Holy Ghost fell on these people too. Verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So now Peter makes us see that salvation is the same thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's go on. 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, he now says, who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Hey, do you understand? Peter is defending that. Listen, you are accusing me of taking the gospel to the Gentiles, but who am I to accuse them? Who am I to stop them? Since the Holy Ghost came on them the same way he came on us the first time. Verse 18 now says, when they heard these things, they heard their peace. Verse 18 says, when they heard these things, what did they do? That means they had no argument again. They glorified God, saying, then had God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto what? Unto life, eternal life. So how did they accept this truth? How did they hold their peace? Why did they hold their peace? What was the proof? Peter said the Holy Ghost fell on them the way he fell on us in the upper room. What was the effect when the Holy Ghost came on them in the upper room? Huh? They spoke in tongues. These guys too spoke in tongues. So when the Jews heard that unbelief, the Gentiles too spoke in tongues, that was enough a proof that they were already a believer. Because they understood that if you could speak in tongues, then it means you are born again. That means the Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost couldn't be in you if you were not saved. Come on. Do you understand now? So speaking in tongues is the evidence of salvation. I want to stop here. Time is gone. But were you really blessed? This is pure theology.
How many of you enjoy the reading exercise? I learned from Brother Kenneth Eakin. Brother Eakin, if he wants to begin teaching, he will read like 30 verses to start teaching. Praise the Lord. So, speaking in tongues. Listen, when you speak in tongues, are you hearing me? See, Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, stir up the gift of God that is in you. So you see, when you pray in tongues that way, you are testifying of the glory, glorified Christ. Secondly, it proves you are a believer. But much more, guess what? You are edified. He says, he that prays in unknown tongues, what does he do? Edifies himself. The word edified takes from the Greek word oikodomio, where they coined the engineering word edifice. The building term edifice means a structure. When you pray in tongues, you are building yourself up. Have you ever prayed in tongues so long you are out and you feel like, where is the devil now? Have you ever prayed in tongues so much? You pray in tongues, you lock yourself up. You go this way. Rakaya! You pray in tongues for hours and then you came out, you open the door and you feel like, where is that devil now? I eat you up now. There's some boldness that you've gotten now. Are you hearing me? There's already an impartation, an imprint of the Spirit of God on your boldness. Now your voice is out. You're like, hey, where is the devil now? There's an inferno. There's a fire on the inside. Listen to me. This is how to stay perpetually in fire, praying in tongues. Our title is Inferno, Large Fire. Why do Christians chicken out to situation and circumstance? Why? They are not full of the Holy Ghost. They are not constantly filled with the Spirit. They have not practiced praying in tongues consistently. When you pray in tongues consistently, you live a Spirit-led life. Are you hearing me? Come on, are you hearing me? You become bold. It says, another translation says, he that speaks in unknown tongues emboldens himself. Glory to God. So this thing is for everybody. It's for everybody. I say it's for everybody. Some of you right now, you're going to start, as you begin to speak in tongues, you will see there will be just like a flow, like you feel like a flow on the inside of you. We're going to pray in tongues now. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here watching. You're having a serious pain in your eye, in your eye. Something itchy. Pandroho safraha tekile. Rise on your feet, everybody. That itch in the eye is going right now. I command that sickness to die right now. I command every disease under the sound of my voice as you're watching and those that will yet watch. There's no distance in the spirit. There is fire right now, burning up all those things right now. There's someone that is watching, your devotion has gone so bad, you can hardly pray because you have lived a life that the devil has made you think God has forsaken you. You've lived a wrong life that the devil has made you think that, no, there's nothing about you with God anymore. But I'm telling you, today, there is a reawakening. There is a reviving in your spirit. There's a refreshing in your spirit. Rise up now and begin to pray. There is fire burning on the inside of you now. Right now, you can feel the inferno inside. You are a believer. The Holy Ghost is in you. Can we pray in tongues right now? Church audience, let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pray in the Spirit. If you don't pray in tongues before now, come forward. Let me lay hands on you. Can we pray in the Spirit right now? Can we pray in the Spirit right now? Anybody among us who does not pray in tongues? Anybody? You want me to lay hands on you? We all pray in tongues. Come on, let's pray in tongues in the Spirit right now. Come on. Zapto proko raba shata raba hala. Now is the hour. Now is the time. Now is the hour. Now is the time. You have something to change in the family? Now is the hour. You have something to change in your body? Now is the hour. You have something to change in your office? Now is the hour. You have something to speak about the future? Now is the hour. Stir up the Spirit of God is in you. Stir him up. Pray in the Spirit right now. And begin to declare words of power. Begin to declare words of power. You have something to change? You might have done it before and you never saw change. Don't worry. Do it again. Do it again. Oh, Rabba Sata Rabba Hala Hashti. Nem do bro sister to suti. Please come and help me. I'm the atmosphere of Jesus. Come and help me, Minister Sandra. Can we pray in the Spirit? Come on.
Thank you, Father. There is no distance in the spirit. There is no distance in the spirit. There is no distance in the spirit. Yeah, someone here, your mom is sick. Your mom is laid down sick. I command that cough to go right now. You foul spirit of tuberculosis, leave in the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 Sing this song with us online. Come on, let's sing it together.
I'm the atmosphere, Jesus.
Wherever you are, in any situation you are, you want a change, put your hand there. You can write it down right now. Let me lay, pray over those papers. Write it down. Declare words over them right now. You are the atmosphere of Jesus. And if you're not born again, all it requires is to believe that Jesus died, was buried, was raised for your sake. That's all it requires. If you believe that, say, Father, I believe. I dare to call you Father. I dare to call you Father. The moment you said so, the Holy Ghost is in you now. You become the atmosphere of Jesus. You carry atmosphere everywhere. You are the house of the Holy Ghost.
I'm the atmosphere of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the atmosphere of Jesus.
In this atmosphere, sickness
I'm
can
the
stay.
Atmosphere
in this
Jesus.
Atmosphere, no virus can survive. Yeah. It's a supernatural atmosphere.
I'm the atmosphere of Jesus.
Rabba Shata Labba Rabba.
The atmosphere of Jesus.
In this atmosphere,
I'm
come
the
on.
The atmosphere of Jesus.
Can we pray in tongues? The few of us that are here online, on site, let's pray in tongues louder. Come on. Those of you online, pray in tongues as well.
The atmosphere of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. There is power in your name.
Miracles upon your name. As we lift the voice of
it's you that I see.
It's you, Lord.
It's you that I see.
Oh, there is power in your name. Oh,
there is power in your name.
Miracles happen in your name.
Miracles happen in your name.
As we lift the voice and say,
as we lift the voice.
Stronger, stronger than
God is.
You are big.
See how big your God is.
You are strong. Turn another strong case. You are high. Higher than the highest. You are great.
Come on.
Greater than the greatest. You are big. Bigger than the biggest. You are strong.
Our comforter. He's
our advantage. Thank you, Father. We'll give you praise for this. Now I speak in the name of Jesus. Whatever situation and circumstances that is befacing you, I decree right now, be it unto you now according to your faith. You want healing? Take it. In the name of Jesus. You want supernatural intervention? Yeah, I see that there's someone right now, there's a particular person in your family, there is a dragging of a property that belongs to the family. There's an angelic intervention right now. In the name of Jesus. In any way, anyhow, you desire so much of God's Spirit to intervene. Intervention is yours right now. Thank you, Father. Yeah, addiction is breaking off right now. Addiction is breaking off right now. Emotional attachment to the wrong individual is breaking off right now. It's breaking off right now. In the name of Jesus. You don't even know how you will do your life. You are so confused. There is clarity for you right now. There's clarity for you right now. You are wondering whether you should go this way or that way. You will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it." There is no confusion in your way anymore. I declare right now that light shines on your path right now. There is light for you right now. In the name of Jesus. Yes, you with migraine, that migraine lives right now in the name of Jesus. You are free. You are free completely. Free completely. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for today. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. When somebody shout hallelujah!
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.